Not all Disney animated movies are what I would call young kid friendly. And I would rank The Hunchback of Notre Dame among that list. The opening is quite dark, actually, the opening of that movie. It has a gypsy woman with a bundle in her arms running from this man that is chasing her in Paris named Frollo. She runs to the Cathedral of Notre Dame. She bangs on the door and she cries out, "Sanctuary, sanctuary." But the doors do not open at that time, and soon she would pass. Later in that movie, a different gypsy woman comes to that church. She too, that cathedral, she too cries out, "Sanctuary." Her name is Esmeralda. And she is inside of that building and ponders what it means. The very end of that movie has Quasimodo, the hunchback himself, standing at the top of the cathedral, looking out among the masses of the people. And he too cries, "Sanctuary, sanctuary." The word sanctuary simply means a sacred place or a holy place. In Scripture, that term is used to describe both the tabernacle and the temple, but even more so, the Holy of Holies inside of them. The noun form, sanctuary. When it is used in the verb sense, or when someone is seeking or crying sanctuary, it is a plea for protection. And in Scripture, it is a plea for God to protect the person. As we come back to our study of Joshua, we've entered now into the promised land. We're going to take a look at some special cities within the promised land. And we're going to see, I hope, a correlation between those cities, at least symbolically, between those cities and God. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray today for our hearts to be open to hear your voice. We pray that we have been listening through these songs and being challenged by those words. We pray that our hearing of the words during our prayer time has brought us all before you. We pray that our partaking of the Lord's Supper together has helped us to learn the idea of communion and oneness. We ask you now to just fill our heart and mind with your word as we center upon some scripture, and helping us to see you as our sanctuary, our place of refuge. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen. As the people begin to claim their inheritance, each tribe taking possession of the land that was given to them by lot, casting of lots, that is, the teaching has been actually before they ever got there, that there were supposed to be six cities set aside. Now, the Levites would be in charge of those cities, and they would have other cities, also 42 other cities throughout the land, since they didn't have a specific spot. But these six cities were talked about by Moses clear back in Numbers and Deuteronomy, and he outlines the purpose for those cities. They were to be called cities of refuge. In ancient Israel, there was no police force. So when the Jews governed themselves, and they used the law to do that, to govern themselves, when a person killed another person, what was allowed is for there to be an avenger of blood. And the difficulty came in as to, but what about the person who killed somebody by accident or without premeditation, without hatred in their heart? What about those situations? You know, maybe there was two people out working in the field and something happened and an axe head slipped and it killed and hit the other person and killed the other person. A total accident. What about then? See, the difficulty is the law didn't actually make exceptions for what about them. It allowed for the family of the one who has been killed to avenge the one who killed them. So what God did do is set up six cities that were called cities of refuge. And when someone who kills another person without any premeditation, without any hatred, has killed someone, they are to flee to one of these six cities. When we come to Joshua chapter 20, we see now this being put into place. So Moses has talked about it. Now they are in that the land of the promised land. Beginning with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge for the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the city and explain his gates to the elders of that city. Then they shall take him into their city and give him a place, and he shall remain with them. So I've accidentally killed someone. I had no malice in my heart, no premeditation. You, if I killed your relative, you have the opportunity to avenge their blood. Just think for a moment. Excuse me. Just think for a moment about that. And you may say, well, why would anybody do that? I can tell you, there are plenty of people in our country that have died by an accident where the other person did not mean to kill somebody. That still brings tremendous anger to the family. Someone is hit and killed by someone driving their car. They had no intent to hit and kill that person. It was a total accident. But it was still manslaughter. They killed that person. And there is sometimes that feeling inside of the one who lost that relative. If you would have paid more attention, if you would have done this, if you would have done that, then my relative would not have died. And so there's this tremendous anger that is built up inside that person. So I understand when you don't have a police force, like they did not have in ancient Israel, why it would be that if someone accidentally kills somebody else, the family members still may feel the need to avenge the blood of the one who has died. So they go after that person. That person's only option, according to God, is to run to one of these six cities. And when he gets to the city, at the gate to the entrance of the city, he there pleads his case before the elders of that city. If he is found innocent, they are to take him into that city, and they are to give him refuge. There is one catch that you do need to know from the law of Moses. You are only safe inside that city. Now, by technicality, it included an area outside around the city where the Levites were given. But the bottom line is, that is now your new home. Okay? And you will live there, period. You leave there, the avengers of blood can come after you. Now, you have to stay there until the high priest dies, and then you can go back to your own home if you chose to do that. But until that point in time, that city of refuge is now your home. And you are only safe in the city. I want to make some spiritual correlation between the cities of refuge and God and Christ. When a person begins to study their Bible, they very quickly find themselves a sinner. It doesn't take them long in reading the Bible to understand that their life is counter to what God has set out, that they have done the things that God has defined as sin. And so they sadly, but admittedly, see themselves as a sinner and therefore need a Savior. It's not a matter of being a believer. They absolutely believe who Jesus is. But it is a matter of being saved. The belief is good and is absolutely necessary. But sometimes you could be a believer and still not be saved. Okay? You could be innocent of killing this person, but if you're outside that city, you're still dead meat. Okay? That's just the way it's going to work. And so as this person comes to study and understand God's word, they see there is no other place to go but to the Lord. There isn't any other way to find the peace, to find the salvation that they need. I want to step outside of my role for a moment, and I want to sing a song with you. Just one verse in the chorus, and we'll repeat the last line of the chorus. It is a song that is not in the maroon hymn book. I don't know if it's in the blue one or not, but it's a song I grew up with anyway. And the title of the song and the verses in the song, we're only going to sing the first verse, is simply, "Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Needing a refuge for my soul." Let's sing this song together.
Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's sword, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
It's a question that needed an answer, and so they found that answer in the cities of refuge. While the cities of refuge gave shelter only to the innocent, God gives me shelter and safety, even though I am not innocent. I flee to God, who is my refuge, my present help in a time of trouble. I run to Him not because I am innocent. I run to Him because only He can free me from the bondage of death. That's why I run to Him. Those cities gave people hope who needed that rescuing, that they knew that death was the only thing that was around them. And spiritually speaking, we have that same struggle. We know that through sin, we are guilty and therefore will die in sin. The only refuge we can find is in Jesus Himself. So when we ask the question, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Needing that shelter for my soul. The answer is I couldn't go anywhere but to the Lord. And that's where I have to run. There's a second aspect of this that I want to bring out, and that these six cities were strategically set among the populated area of Israel, both on the eastern side of the Jordan and in Israel proper. They were located not so much in a circle, but in the areas where people could flee to them. And the reason was, if you had killed somebody, you need to get somewhere quickly before the family was coming after you. So they needed to be accessible places. So they would run as quickly as they could to those places. Through the cross, through the burial of Jesus, through the resurrection of Jesus, through the ascension of Jesus, through the coming of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus ascended back into heaven, accessibility is no longer an issue. I can go to God anytime, any place, anywhere. He is open 24/7. And unlike those cities, even though they were accessible, I can go to him and I can share with him far more than just what I have done wrong. I just need to have that oneness with my God. And the reason is rather simple, and it kind of takes me to the third point, and that is there is a burden that just comes from life itself. A burden that sometimes sin weighs upon us. And so we need to go to Christ because of that burden of sin. But sometimes it's not the sin. Sometimes as Christians, we have just the weight of the world set upon our shoulders. Maybe it's brokenness somewhere in a relationship or whatever the case may be. And we're feeling this weight, this burden, this stress. One of those verses, I think, in the New Testament that people love to hear and quote and say comes from the words of Jesus that mean so much to us who feel burdened. Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Even as saved people, we love these verses. How many times have you laid your head on your pillow at night, exhausted? Not exhausted from work, that might be true. Not exhausted from physical labor anyway. But exhausted literally because of the cares of the world. Because of the stress. Because of what happens within our nation that still physically and emotionally affects you, inside you. Because people you are loving hurt or going through some difficulty and you lay down at night and you just feel weary and heavy laden. Jesus simply says, come. Come to me. When you are so overwhelmed by life. Because only in me will you find rest for your souls. I'm the only place that it's going to happen. So come. I'm going to make myself available. And I'm not making myself available only to those who are innocent. I'm making myself available to everybody. Coming to Christ. I guess I don't understand why somebody really decides, I want to live life outside of the Christian faith. I don't understand the why. Because I do understand the weight of the world. I do understand emotion. I do understand stress. I do understand guilt. I do understand all the things that just go on around me. Why would I want to try to say, I and I alone can handle everything, put it on my shoulders? I can't. I can't. There are multiple times where someone truly has fallen into the depth of despair. And part of the reason they fell into that depth of despair is they just wouldn't go to Christ. I'm not saying there aren't chemical imbalances. I'm not going down that road. I'm just saying there are times in which a person so allows themselves to be worked up and overcome. And it's because they have seen themselves as the one who has to bear it. And Jesus has come to me. I want to give you two what-if scenarios. Because really, I want you to understand that Jesus is our city of refuge. The first what-if scenario. What if the person who killed another person does not run to the city of refuge to plead his case? Well, when you take a look at the book of Numbers, when you take a look at the book of Deuteronomy, when these cities are set up, when this whole thing is set up, going back to what I've already said a little earlier in this sermon, if you chose to not run, you literally take your life in your hands. Now, you could go home and you could say to the family of the person that was killed, we were out in the field and here's the accident that took place. I'm really sorry that your husband, your father, your brother, your son died. And you could hope that they would say, well, that's okay. We love you. Everything's going to be okay. Or they could say, we're killing you. So what if you decide, I don't want the city of refuge? Everything then is on you to determine whether or not you could live. Everything is completely on you. And the avenger of blood is innocent if they come after you. So I put that into the spiritual context. What if I decide I don't want to come to Christ? I don't want what I think is a burden of having to give up. Why should I have to give up anything? My freedom, my rights, the way I want to do things, and have to flee to Him and take upon His teachings and His doctrine and His way. I don't want to do that. That's fine. You can do that. But here's the caveat. When judgment day comes, you have to stand as one who is outside of Christ. You have to be prepared for that consequence. You've made a choice. That's fine. You could not run to Him. But then you need to be able to say, this is how I plan to deal with me after death. There's the second caveat that I mentioned is that you had to stay within the city of refuge. And again, you may think, well, that's such a burden. That person literally ran away from father and mother, their spouse, their children, all their relatives, their work, everything. They ran to that city and now they're going to spend maybe the rest of their life, or at least the rest of the life of the high priest in that city. That's the only place you're going to be safe? Well, the answer is yes. If I run to Jesus and in my heart give myself over to Him, if I allow myself to be washed in His blood, cleansed through Him, born again, if I decide, okay, Jesus is going to be my Lord and Christ and Master and King, and then decide at some point in time, you know what? This just doesn't work for me. I'm done with this. Whatever the reason may be. And I have actually heard people give lots of reasons. People who have said, I used to do that whole Christian thing, but I don't do it anymore. And then they tell me why. Generally is connected to some relation with somebody else, but they tell me their reasons why they don't. If you decide, I don't want to stay in Christ anymore, I will come back and I'll ask you again, what is your decision on what you want to do after you die? Because you get to make that as a decision. You can either come to Christ or you can be outside of Christ. You can either flee to the city of Jesus, if you will, or you can remain outside of it. That's going to be your choice. Even if you have come to Christ and you have decided, no longer do I want to walk this way. And so you decide, I want what I used to have. I want my old life. You can spurn, if you will, that forgiveness, the blood of Christ. Our need is just as real today for a place to run to as it ever was in the days of Joshua or from that timeline on. But Jesus is the only place. I want to close with a scripture that I really like, and it's taken from Hebrews chapter 6. And I want to read it in the New Living Translation, and the reason why is I think the New Living puts it in an easy to understand way. The Hebrew writer says this, "So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have," and here's the phrase, "we who have fled to Him for our refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is strong and trustworthy, is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary." I like the way the Hebrew writer puts that. He takes his Old Testament concept and he says, this is where we are. We hold on to God's promises and God's oath. We hold on to that because we know God cannot lie. Therefore, we have run, we fled to Him for our refuge. It begs only one question. And that is, where are you? I mean, that really is the only question. The cities of refuge were there because people needed it. Where are you? Have you fled to Him for refuge? Do you hold that confidence in that confidence that is so strong it's like an anchor for our soul? Have you come through the curtain to God's inner sanctuary? That's what you have to ask yourself. See, the answer should be for you here, should be yes. But if the answer is no, then again, you are liable to the avenger. But if the answer is yes, then you have the confidence of living in Christ. And that should give you strength every single day. I'm in Christ. And even when the burdens are way more than I feel like I can bear, I just bow my head in prayer and I literally say, God, I can't, so you take it. And He probably is saying, I already have, but it's nice for you to acknowledge it. Are you in Christ or are you out? If we can help you to be in Christ, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?